You, O Lord, we lift up our souls. We have no excuse. You have already given us all we need to do your will. As your disciples, help us to see what's needed and then go about doing it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just before I get started, thank you for welcoming back to Grace Church. It really is coming home to wonderful people, wonderful memories, and a blessed setting. Good morning. There's a reoccurring theme in our readings this morning. Have you heard it? We have work to do in the name of God, and we have responsibilities to live up to. We call ourselves his disciples. Don't get too anxious. We are already very capable of doing what he asks. It's the grace to follow through, though. That's what we pray for. As our colleague just said, grant that we may know and understand what things we ought to do, and then have the grace and the power faithfully to accomplish them. When we pray this prayer with earnest and even a thimbleful confidence, we may be very surprised what happens next. It seems that in December of 2012, Alex Redick was sitting in his dorm room at Purdue University after finishing an exhausting week of final exams. And in an attempt to wind down after the long semester, he hooked up the television and began watching Heaven Almighty, which is a movie that gives a comedic Hollywood twist to the story of Noah's Ark. Now, there's a point in the film in which Steve Carell asks, how can we change the world? To which Morgan Freeman, who is playing the role of God, replies, one act of random kindness at a time. It was this cheesy and somewhat profound movie scene that inspired Alex to make a change. He immediately recorded a video as an experiment to see if others would be interested in joining him to attempt to spread kindness in our society. Within 24 hours of recording the video, he was contacted by people in countries all over the world, including Russia and Brazil. Canada. And Alex then sold some of his own personal belongings, started a website aimed at creating a community of people dedicated to spreading kindness. And as all of this was happening, a team began to form. He had a team of four close friends bent on impacting the world through kindness. And just like that, ARC Project Now was born. ARC, Acts of Random Kindness. I invite you to check out their website for ARC Project. See just how they continue. After 4 years, they continue to grow beyond any expectations or imaginings. These young people took the initiative, decided to do something good for strangers, total strangers. Simple, easy, and direct. So how does this take us to the gospel this morning? Well, first, a little background. In the Mediterranean world at those times, questions were rarely asked for the sake of information. Questions were viewed as suspicious attempts to shame someone for their ignorance. Just like you know. This was the prevailing attitude by the ruling populace of that day to test Jesus, to challenge him, and hopefully to trip him up. Jesus, being so aware of their intent, answers as usual with a parable. The scene, the dusty road outside the town. The robbers, whom we don't know anything about, had stripped their victim of his clothes in order to leave no evidence of who he is. Then they abandoned the man they had beaten nearly to death. First on the scene was the priest. With his elite status sitting up on his donkey, he looks down and he ponders the situation briefly. Now, if you were to touch the man and the man is dead, the priest would then be unclean and would be forced to return to Jerusalem for purification. Can't have that. So he ignores and he rides on. Next one coming along is the Levite. Traveling along the flat road, he probably had seen the priest's reaction. Deciding to do nothing for the injured man is a no-brainer, since it's very likely he is an assistant to the priest. It would be an insult to the priest if he did it otherwise. So pausing only very briefly, he too moves on. But as you know, the third one down the road is the Samaritan. And what was his risk? Oh, plenty. His thought as a nearly dead man is likely a Judean, an enemy to the Samaritan. Being that the Samaritan is here in Judea, he could be considered a likely suspect in the crime. But anyway, he proceeds to place himself at high risk by listening to his hurt. Doesn't hesitate long from using of his wine that cleansed the man's wounds and his oil to soothe the inflammation. Now imagine if the man were to wake up. Very likely to be afraid, recognizing the stranger as an enemy who is anointing him with impure treatments, now making the victim, besides his injuries, now unclean. Too. These laws of who is clean and who is not are a mighty deciding factor. But the Samaritan almost seemed like damned if he did and damned if he didn't, but he risks it all. Then he goes as far as to put the injured man on his animal and take him from the treatment, volunteering to pay him the sums. Talk about random acts of kindness. To help even a friend can ask a lot of us. Sometimes asks more of us in time, effort, and energy than we think we have to offer. But helping a friend can be the easier part. Let's talk about the stranger. Jesus is asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Neighbor for us can mean people we pick, people we like, people who think and act like us, work for a living and are clean. The radical difference is that Jesus says our neighbor is even the hated stranger who is down and out, probably smelly and hungry. And Jesus is challenging us to stop what we're doing, see the need, and then do something radically different than we're used to doing. In other words, risk getting out of our comfort zones. Maybe even getting our hands a little dirty while our heart expands. So it's risky. We could be shunned. Our efforts might be viewed as coming with an ulterior motive. We might even make some mistakes. But here it comes. In the challenge, we get to recognize each and every person, neighbor, those next door, those far away, those names that we know and those that we don't. We get to recognize each one as being the living image of God, created by God, a living child of God, whom we are called to love and care for. God himself resides in all and each of us. We be caring for God. Remember the familiar passage? For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick. You looked after me. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters in challenging us to take our membership in the human family with utmost seriousness. Moses said, God's command is quite simple. It's not mysterious or remote. It's not in the sky, it's not across the sea. The commandment of God is very near to us, already in our hearts, and already in our minds. And in Colossians, we heard that we are being prayed for, that we, you and I, be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may lead lives fully pleasing to Him as we bear fruit in every good work. You know, even the lawyer testing Jesus this morning, he really did know the law of love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. His challenge? To act on it and make it more than just words. My prayer for all of us is this. May we act out of the love of God. May we act with the love of God to do what we know is in our hearts that needs to be done. May we take action for the sake of those in any kind of need. May we be confident that we can make may our actions be a result of our deep passion for our Lord, who loved us.